Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. In John 19:30, Jesus said, "It is finished." He was hanging on the cross and it was finished. Now, the question is, what is finished? Because I think we have this tendency to think in terms of salvation for that because of the context in which he said it. He was on the cross, he was dying for our sins. He shed his blood, he was bloody, beaten, and he says it is finished. And so we think of it very easily as the salvation work is finished. But really, that is not what it means. Because the Lamb was slain from the foundation of the world, right? In Revelation 13:8 and Hebrews 4:3, the works were finished from the foundation of the world. So it was finished, and now Jesus, a few thousand years later in earth, says it is finished. Like, what was finished? What was finished was the same thing that why God rested. On the seventh day in Genesis chapter 2, he rests. What was he resting from? Obviously, he was resting from the works that he had done. Now, when the Word of God says it is finished, we have to recognize something. The works weren't finished from the foundation of the world. They were not finished 2,000 years ago. They were finished from the foundation of the world. The Lamb was slain from the foundation of the world. Now, God knew us before the world began. He knew our name. He knew everything about us. So what was finished? Well, we could say the plan of God then was finished. Yes, that was finished, but that's not the entirety of what was finished. You see, what was finished was really a similar proposition as to why he came. If the works were finished from the foundation of the world, why come? Why did Jesus come to the earth and die on the cross if the works were finished from the foundation of the world? Well, I know the theology of it, and that it, you know, had to be, you know, played out in time and all that. But there's another application to this, and I think it's a valuable one. If Jesus hadn't come, if the work wasn't finished, then we would be forgiven, but not reconciled. In other words, God can forgive us from a distance, but he can only commune with us up close. There's only fellowship up close with God, but forgiveness can be from a distance. When Christ came and finished the work, what he did is he made it experiential and not just positional. One of the things that we really need to learn as believers is to live in experiential truth, which is the experience of our position. So when Christ finished the work from the foundation of the world, it was the eternal reality. In heaven, it was done. And of course, heaven determines the reality that is also here on earth. But how do I, as a believer, experience that which is in eternity when I have to live in time? And so when the Savior said it is finished, what he was talking about, it can now be your practical experience that you have communion with God, that you have intimacy with God, that he can indwell you, that the Holy Spirit would be sent, and he would live in you, and he would seal you. That if you asked him, you weren't asking of a distant God. Like, we know in Daniel that the prayers went to heaven, and we also know that in Revelation 5 and Revelation 8. But when I pray now, where do my prayers go? On the one hand, yeah, they do go there, but how do they get there? Well, the Holy Spirit lives in us. I don't have to pray far to pray to God. Before, I think people had to, because the Holy Spirit didn't indwell them in the way that he does in this age. At Pentecost he entered, but he didn't enter before. Before he came down on people, but now he lives, he resides in people. When Christ said it was finished, it was more than just the works. Certainly the works, certainly the plan, certainly redemption, but more. It was also the experience. For example, how do I experience a conscience that's not guilty? Because a lot of Christians walk around with a guilty conscience. Or how do I experience in my own heart the love of God? Well, it is finished. In other words, it is now something that can be experiential, not just something that I trust as a reality for my future. In the olden days, people would look forward to the cross, and they looked to positional truth to define their relationship with God. And while we still do that, we look back toward the cross, and we also look to positional truth to define our relationship with God. There's a difference there. The difference is that now we can experience that position. With the Holy Spirit living inside of us, we are now seated above in heavenly places, because we were buried with Him and we were risen with Him. And when we rose with Him, we were seated above at the right hand of God in Him. That's our place now. That is in fact not just our position, but very easily our experience to the person who learns how to think with God. So when He said, "It is finished," He handed us something that the Old Testament saints didn't have. He made us something that the Old Testament saints were not. This is why it says in the Word of God, why Jesus said, "The least in the kingdom of God is greater than John, who was the greatest man born among women." So that tells me that John the Baptist was the greatest of the prophets in Jesus' estimation. Because all the other prophets were born of women, and John was the greatest man born of women. But the least in the kingdom was greater than he. And it wasn't until Jesus came that the Word of God said, "The kingdom of heaven is within you." No Old Testament prophet said to anybody, "The kingdom of God is within you." But the Savior did. When He said, "It is finished," He did something that had never been done in time. What's planned in eternity, but the experience of it could not be experienced apart from what had happened temporally on the cross. When He said, "It is finished," He established a kingdom. And the kingdom became a practical reality. And forgiveness became a practical reality. Now, I'm not trying to discredit positional truth when I say this. Positional truth is the ultimate truth. My experience does not have to line up to my position for me still to have positional truth. In other words, I can still be a wretched little sinner and completely forgiven by God if I'm born again. Now, I'm not saying He's going to let me stay there very long. He does have a discipline process, but it can be the case. However, the experience, the communion, the unity with God. See, Moses spoke to God face to face as a man speaks to his friend. But we speak to God heart to heart because He lives inside of us. And so there is a difference between "it is finished" from the foundation of the world, and "it is finished" on the cross. Positionally, it isn't different, but experientially, it certainly is. Now, what all does that mean? That means that I have the Holy Spirit in me, and that He teaches me. The Old Testament saints were taught by the prophets who heard from God directly. They were not Spirit-taught believers. But we have the Holy Spirit living in us. We are Spirit-taught believers. This is why Paul said you have no need of no man to teach you. He's talking about the way that they did it in the Old Testament. You have the Holy Spirit in your heart. You don't need an intermediate man, an intermediary, to speak to God for you. Like the kings would go to the prophets, right? And they would say, ask of God for me. Will He give me the victory? But now the Holy Spirit is in us, and we can ask of God ourselves, because we have a union with God. Before, we had acceptance before the cross. There was fellowship in the sense of prayer. There was a communion with a priest, and the priest would commune with God, but they had to be selected, and they had to be of the Levites, and there had to be a shedding of blood with an animal. But now it's different. Now the law is written on our hearts. Now there's a position that is an experience. There's a place for us in heaven. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. That means that prior to that, there wasn't a place prepared yet. And we know this because men did not used to go to heaven directly, right? In Abraham's bosom was in the middle of the earth, the paradise that Jesus spoke of to the thief that was coming with him. And this was in the middle of the earth. But now there is a place prepared for me. We no longer go to the middle of the earth where the great gulf was fixed between Hades, Sheol, and paradise. No, now we go directly with Him. We are risen with Him. We have a place with God. When I pray now, I don't stand before God on the earth. I stand before God at the throne. When I pray now, I don't talk to Him in a distance. I talk to Him in the intimacy of my heart. And though He could hear the prayers of the Old Testament saints in their hearts as well, but He wasn't residing there. Now He does. Personally, I think I would much rather be a New Testament believer than an Old Testament believer. I'd much rather have that presence of God with me all the time. Can you sense His presence? It's not an overwhelming thing. It's not a loud thing. It's a soft, soothing thing. Can you sense His presence? It's finished. Yes, it does mean the plan, but it means that God leads me in that plan. By the way, never put God in a box. I think it's very easy for believers to try to put God in a box. God can only be like this. God can only do it this way. God can only lead in this direction, or what this means. And sometimes you hear that kind of a mentality where God is put in a box. It has to be done like we do it. No. God will not violate His word. But He's not going to be relegated to legalism either. He is His word. God won't tell somebody to go out and fornicate, but He did tell Isaiah to go out and walk around naked for 3 years. Now granted, that was very much God's sovereignty, but nevertheless, what I have to remember is in that intimacy that I have with God, there is sovereignty. That's why it is finished. That's why the Holy Spirit lives in me. A call that a believer has, in every individual believer's case, is a sovereign call. In other words, God will do as He chooses with whom He chooses to do it with. God is not going to be relegated to boxes. God made the donkey talk because He had nobody else present who would speak for Him. And so He chose the only other living creature there, which was a donkey. And so He speaks through the donkey. You see, there is a sovereignty to God that I cannot overlook, and it is found in "it is finished." The sovereignty of God in my life is extremely precious because it gives me a life of an individual. And it's an individual who knows God uniquely and who has a unique portion within the body of Christ that only that individual can supply, because he knows God uniquely. Never try to put God in a box. That is not "it is finished." When God said "it is finished," He was saying that all that He would do in my life will be a divine ordered blueprint, that He orders the steps, that He leads the heart, that He speaks to the believer, that He's intimate with His children. "It is finished" is far more than simply redemption, although it is redemption, but more. "It is finished" is a unity and a communion and a oneness. It's a sweetness of a relationship that cannot be had with a person, but only with God. There is no possible relationship on earth, as good and close as they may be, that can actually parallel this relationship, that can reflect it. There is a reflection of it. For example, the Bible tells us that, you know, that Christ is the head of the man, just as, you know, then the man is the head of the wife, just as God is the head of Christ and Christ the head of the church. So it's a reflection in that way. But it's like Paul said, it's looking into a glass darkly. It's an imperfect representation because it is dealing with imperfect humans. But with God, even though I may be imperfect, He is not. That is why the relationship, the fellowship, the union and communion with the Savior is richer. You can understand how two people could be close, but you're talking about two fallen individuals, who both of whom have an old sin nature, both of whom have their own mind, both of them have good days and bad days, both of them have days when they're happy and when they're sad, when they're in a mood or angry, and when they're just, you know, everything is good. And they don't always line up at the same time, thankfully. But with God, there's only one person in the relationship like that. And the other one is perfect. The experience of God with "it is finished" cannot be paralleled. It's really even a little bit difficult to describe. But it is that which causes great sweetness in those who have suffered greatly. Why is it that she that sinned much loved much? Because much was forgiven her? Yeah, but also something more. In that forgiveness, there was also great love and kindness, great gentleness and tenderness. It was a heart that reached her because that's what she needed. See, you don't get that from a person, no matter how wonderful the person may be. You can't get that from a human being. You can only get that from the God of "it is finished." it is finished means that I can have a life with Him, not just a life about Him. In the Old Testament, their lives were about God. But now, in this age, in the age of grace, our lives are with God. There's a closeness there. There's a gentleness that God expresses. He touches a heart, but ever so softly, because He wants it to be my experience. It wasn't sufficient that "it is finished" should be an eternal positional truth, not for the love of God. For the grace of God, yeah. And even for the mercy of God. But not for the love of God. It's like being married to someone, but never being intimate with them. That's positional truth. But "it is finished" meant that the Savior could be intimate. That He could be so close that He even feels my feelings. He could be so close that if I have tears, they are in His eyes. He could be so close that when the heart is wounded, it's His heart that aches. See, there's an intimacy there that wouldn't be there if it were just position. Grace and mercy were satisfied with foundation of the world, but love needed the experience. And God gave the experience because He so greatly loved that He went to the cross until it was finished. Amen.